This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
To wake on up,
wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, heck yeah.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Let's go. Halfway home here on a hump day in the Bay. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. We're rolling, baby. We're reacting to a 99-88 victory in Game 1 of the West Semifinals between the Golden State Warriors and Minnesota Timberwolves. But hanging over all of that is the Stephen Curry injury. Left early in the second quarter due to a hamstring strain, was quickly ruled out, and we await the MRI results. Whenever that has taken place, we will get those results to you when we get that information. But Pat Spencer stepped up. Buddy Hield stepped up. Kevon Looney. Every single player that played yesterday. Draymond Green. Jimmy Buckets. Steve Kerr, I thought, had a masterclass in coaching yesterday after coming off a masterclass in coaching in Game 7 of the Rockets series. So there is so much baked into this game into now this series that we're reacting to all day long, and we want to hear from the people. And it's the same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. Joe, we're halfway home here, and you know we're going to talk about that Stephen Curry injury and how it takes part and how things have to be adjusted going forward for both sides, whether it's the Warriors or Timberwolves going forward. But it was a game they needed to win. After you build a 23-point lead, and especially with the loss of Stephen Curry, they needed that victory. It would have been demoralizing as all hell coming in this morning. Losing Steph and then losing that lead and losing that game would have been the biggest of all gut punches, if you will. But the fact that they won that game provides you at least some breathing room going forward. Not to say that they can't win some of these games without him, because I do think they can, because you do have Jimmy Butler for that reason. It's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, but they needed that win and they got it.
It's just an all-time win for them. And the two guys. First, I think it's arguably the best offensive and defensive and emotional controlled game Draymond Green has played, given the circumstances and given the stakes, since Game 7, 2016, Father's Day against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's always fun game.
Where he was just outstanding against LeBron James and outplayed him for huge stretches of that game. And then Steve Kerr. You can make an argument without Steph Curry, given that it's the second round, you're on the road, you're doing it with so little bit of rest, with so few guys coming out of the Rocket series playing well, and to play 9 guys in the first quarter, and basically 12 guys overall, and all of them played. It wasn't just like a token, hey, go sub in and foul somebody for 10 seconds. Everyone played. his usage of timeouts, his lineup combinations, his sense for the moment, his ability to allow guys to play through a couple of mistakes, i.e. Jonathan Kuminga, mm-hmm. early on, to weather the storm and the gut punch of what we knew was coming in that fourth quarter. We knew they were going to make a run. For them to bottle up Anthony Edwards in that first half as well as they did, the strategies on zone defense, their ability to figure out ways to get Buddy Hield open, their inbound plays, they had a sideline inbound play that was unreal to get them a backdoor layup. I thought it was the finest coaching job, arguably, in Steve Kerr's career. And he's had so many of them. I'm not here to say it's the best one by far and everything pales in comparison, but it's got a case to be one of the greatest moments and greatest nights of Steve Kerr's career. And if they end up finding a way to win this series, I will remember game one, not just for weathering the storm of Steph Curry, not just for Draymond's excellence or Buddy Hield's excellence, the way Steve Kerr pulled all the levers.
And we talked about it heading into the series yesterday, Joe, the coaching matchup, because I thought Ime Udoka actually did a hell of a job in that Rockets series, the X's and O's, the mixing and matching, knowing his team is offensively challenged at times, but just leaning into that defense and that dog mentality. I thought he was incredible. I think Chris Finch, as you've alluded to, is a hell of a coach, but I'm taking Steve Kerr all day, every day of the week, of the year, whatever, over any other coach that's remaining, over the Joe Mazzullas, over the Daigneaults, over the Adelmans, who's an interim head coach, over Chris Finch, over anyone. Kenny Atkinson, right? By the way, kiss of death is whenever you win Coach of the Year. More often than not, you're probably not going to win the title or go do just it happens. And the Cavs are now down 2-0. We got to get to that at some point. At the end of the show, it's all Warriors related.
We'll see.
But there was, oh my God, the Tyrese Halliburton play. Because it was leading into the Warriors game. And I think when the Warriors game even started, we didn't even get to see it because they had to shift it to NBA TV, that Cavs-Pacers game. But incredible, just incredible games overall yesterday. Night capped with that Golden State Warriors win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And yeah, you know, they got Anthony Edwards. And we got Pat Spencer. And I want to hear from the people today, 888-957-9570.
Such a satisfying win. And look, obviously, the cloud of Curry and figuring out what's going to happen with him, it looms large over everything. And I understand that, like, if he's out for enough time, there's a lid on what your expectations are going to be.
And we're joined by Dr. Nirav Pandya, UCSF Health, R95.7 The Game Injury Insider. And we have some cuts here that we're going to play if you missed any of that interview. He talked all things hamstring, the injury, the timetables, grade one versus grade two, all of that in the 7 o'clock hour. And you can find that entire interview on our Odyssey app or on YouTube, which is powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. And it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We got a lot of phone calls, and we're going to get to you in a second. But to your point, the Steve Kerr coaching decisions yesterday, and I do love when we get to playoff time, we get to get those little snippets in between breaks of the broadcast of him talking to his team and him coaching them up. Because I do think it gets lost, more so in any other sport, because it's so player-driven in the NBA, the coaching. It's like, oh, how much does coaching really matter? I mean, how many times do we joke that, you know, LeBron is the coach, not J.J. Redick, or LeBron's mm-hmm. always the coach, it's not Ty Lue. But coaching does matter when it comes to not just the X's and O's, but when to take timeouts, as you alluded to earlier, just stopping the momentum. And I thought he did a great job of that yesterday when Minnesota hit just a couple shots. And that comes from where? The Greg Popovich school of thought. Pop was so good, he wasn't letting you get back in a game.
No.
He was just going to do a quick timeout if you make two shots in a row.
And Steve never really liked to do that. He kind of let you play through mistakes.
The Phil Jackson, which is what Phil used to do all the time.
I love this aspect. He kept saying what I was saying with the boss. We did a spaces at halftime. You got to push the tempo. You got to push the tempo. Don't let Gobert set up defensively. And you could hear Steve Kerr in the timeout when they did the mic'd up. Guys, we got to get out and run.
Yep.
And I think that one of the things that I'm looking at, like, hey, things to clean up, you absolutely have to get into your sets quicker. You have to get and initiate offense much faster moving forward. But I'm not mad at them milking clock with a 20-point lead in this one. I think, you know, being shell-shocked because of the Curry absence, it was just find a way to win the game. Find a way to win the game and move on. But they caused, it wasn't just Minnesota shooting point, they caused 11 straight misses to start the second quarter. They caused over and over and over again. Buddy Hield open three. Draymond Green open three. Draymond Green open three. Here, let me draw a charge. Here, let me draw a charge. Their defense on Edwards was calculated. At times, they ran doubles. At times, they went zone. At times, they sagged off him and dared him to shoot. I mean, eventually, he got his. And there were some silly fouls with some and ones where you're like, wow, that guy is, he's strong and he's excellent.
Buddy Hield and Draymond Green from beyond the arc combined for 9 of 18. 50%. 50% shooting.
Look,
9 of 18 from those. If you're going to get that from those two players, and again, you're not every single game, and you juxtapose that with what Minnesota was doing, the only guy that could shoot anything was Naz Reid, and he was only 3 of 7. They were 5 of 29 overall, and in their last two games, I just got to say this because it's an incredible stat. Their last two games, going back to that Lakers series, the Minnesota Timberwolves from beyond the arc, 12 of 76. That is the worst two-game stretch in the history of the NBA playoffs from beyond the arc with over 50 attempts. And well, maybe the Boston Celtics could break that when they play tonight. So we'll see.
Look, who knows if they'll shoot better, even on contested shots. Like, we will see. We will definitely see. The Warriors did a great job rebounding. All the guards were rebounding. Looney did a great job situationally rebounding.
Yeah, that one off DiVincenzo, I keep remembering.
Was incredible.
Just rebounding and throwing off.
It was incredible.
IQ, man.
And for me, it was their resiliency to respond time and time again. Kuminga, you know, after basically having just falling asleep off ball, draws two fouls on Naz Reid, which kind of slowed down his aggression. And I know we could nitpick the Kuminga thing. I actually feel really good about Jonathan Kuminga coming out of this game. I think that, like, we're seeing a little bit of, like, confidence being built. They're going to need him. I'm not saying he's a 40-minute-a-night guy, but I think that you're going to need his 12 to 15 points, and you're going to need him drawing fouls. He hit free throws. He hit a three. They need Moody. Moody shot the ball very poorly in this game. I think if things settle down, maybe he's a factor. Maybe Quinn Post can be more of a factor. Pods has got to find his shot. There's a lot that they can clean up, but the effort, the energy, the boxing out, they got good looks in this game.
I'm glad you used that word effort, because Chris Finch, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is interesting. I'm just seeing this on my board right now. He called out the effort of his best player and his star player yesterday, Anthony Edwards. Take a listen to this. Chris Finch, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, calling out Anthony Edwards.
You mentioned kind of the energy, the spirit starts with Ant. Is that something that you and he talk about maybe ahead of game two now?
What is there to talk about? I mean, you're the leader of the team, and you got to come out and set the tone. You know, in all ways that happens. And if your shot's not going, like, you still have to carry the energy, you know. So, I don't think there's, you know, if I got to talk to guys about having the right energy coming into opening second round game, then, you know, we're not on the same page.
That is concerning if I'm waking up this morning as a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, because your star player doesn't have the effort in game one of the Western Conference semis. Yikes. I would never question that with a Steve Kerr coach team. Although,
maybe
we did question it in game five last week.
Look,
also, I'll take a step back there. But again, like, yeah, he's young, and that's, again, that's part of this. And they did have experience last year. They did get to the Western Conference semis. But maybe I did underestimate the rest versus rust factor in all this. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. But clearly, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, 4-0, the road teams.
It's
the Western
unreal.
Conference semis. It's the first time ever.
I think it's just random occurrence.
Is it? You don't think there's any rest versus rust in any of those? Because a lot of those teams, like OKC, was resting for a long time.
Joe.
Cleveland, resting for a long time, right?
OKC, situational basketball down the stretch is what cost them.
It was horrible.
Okay? Last night, situational basketball for Cleveland. They were in control of that game.
You don't think it was just, these are mental errors for a younger team?
Well, I just think that more than anything, it's just situational basketball.
You know what? I'll say that for those three teams, for the Celtics, for the Cavaliers and the Thunder, I thought they blew it more than the other teams won it. Like, Celtics had a 20-point lead. Like, the Cavs had a huge double-digit. Like, those, like, yeah.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Those ones for sure. It could have easily been the Warriors last night when that lead started kind of, you know, slowly getting chipped away at. You know, Jimmy Butler took his time methodically, got a couple middies.
Yeah.
They had a couple of nice putbacks. Buddy Hield hit a big shot. Like, they got stops, right?
Seven offensive rebounds for Jimmy Butler.
Seven! I just thought they did a great job collectively on Gobert. Like, now that we've seen one game, we would all admit, like, as much as we want to criticize, Gobert's a load. Yeah. He is very difficult to box out. He causes huge problems. He could score around the rim. He's a very good player. You can play him off the floor, but he's a very good player. And I think without Curry in the next couple of games, if he's out, let's just say a couple games, Gobert's going to be more of a factor. He will be able to play to close out games.
Anthony is in Marin, wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. The phone lines and the text lines are open at 888-957-9570. What are we feeling today? It's a simple question. The emotions. It was an emotional game. You lose Steph Curry, but you win it. How long are you going to be without Steph? There's so much baked into it, but more importantly, the Warriors are up 1-0 in this series. Anthony, good morning. How are we feeling, man?
What a great day to be in the Bay, and I love you guys, and you bring so much energy to such a great win. So thank you guys for what you do as well.
Hey, we appreciate
and,
that.
And, one quick comment on Steve Kerr, masterclass yet again in coaching. You know, we all love to armchair coach, but man, you know, he just proves every game of working those chess pieces and dealing with the game. And I think last night was just another example of that.
I totally agree. And I feel like he's evolved as a coach in front of our eyes in the last 4 months.
Hey, Anthony, well, it said he had a Pat Spencer nickname. I wanted to hear the nickname.
Was it my fault?
No, it's not your fault. I thought he was going to leave with that.
What was
but
it?
I don't know what it was. Now I'm going to be thinking about it, the Pat Spencer nicknames, you know. But I did like, who was it, Nick at Berkeley calling him
Reno 911 was one that one of my buddies keeps calling him.
Oh, who was that, Lieutenant Jay
Dangle? The nickname was going to be Cal Fire. Because he looks like one of those Cal Fire firemen.
It's too close to home with the actual fires.
And when you're on a team with Fitz's boy, the Human Torch, it's going to be difficult to be called Cal Fire because you put out fires.
Yeah, I like Cat Spencer. Cat. He's a cat. Jay in the Bay.
Jay Cat.
Thank you. Jay in the Bay. I'm not going to say what's up, man, because I think I've said that like three times in a row when I've had you on Jay in the Bay. Female caller. So good morning,
Spencer,
Jay in the Bay. How are we feeling about yesterday's win?
How are you this morning?
Oh, we're doing great.
I'm flying. I'm fabulous.
Yeah, that win last night was good, man. Looney showed experience, his championship experience. He kind of calmed things down with his assistant plays and stuff. And Pat Spencer's a beast. I got to give that man props. The only thing I'm worried about, of that Pods and Moody, they got to chill with them bricks, though, because we cannot afford to throw up empty possessions without Steph in the game. That will hurt us tremendously. Draymond, be the floor general. Buddy, you Steph, manhandle it. We need playoff Jimmy. We don't need good player Jimmy. We need playoff Jimmy and hold it down. JK, GP, rim runners. If you can't shoot the three, get your butt in the middle, do some layups, do some fouls, get some free throws. We could do this, guys. Let's win this.
I'm with you. I'm not ready to wave any white flags. And no one says it's going to be easy.
No.
It's an uphill battle. But I'm not just going to lay down. GP2, oh, God, he had one foul on Edwards. It was just, like, so bad.
I thought he had a good game overall, though.
No, I know, but I think late in the game, you can't be giving up the blow-bys and then the really nonchalant foul for the easy and one for someone as good as Anthony Edwards.
It's a tough matchup.
You know, Draymond tried to do it, too. If you're going to foul that guy, like, you got to really foul him hard because he's so strong. Draymond had, like, him locked up almost in, like, a bear hug, and he still got the shot off and got the and one. But I want to give GP2 his credit. He hit a huge, Huge three. Yeah. Nothing but net. And like they were searching for offense at that point.
8 points for him overall, 5 rebounds and 4 assists for GP2, plus two of those
great
boards were offensive for him. And he had a steal. Yeah, so I thought it was overall pretty good game from Gary Payton the second. Who are you giving your game ball to in yesterday's win? It could be the coach, it could be Steve Kerr, it could be Jimmy Buckets, Buddy Hield, obviously. Or is it Cat Spencer? Some are calling, and this one's mean. This was, but I got to say it. I mean, someone in on the Boxer and Gerson injury attorneys, sorry, where is it? I got to get it right. Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line, paying the bills here. Someone's saying Luka Doncic has a new nickname. And it's Fat Spencer. That's mean, people. We don't do that on this show. Come on. What are we doing? Come on.
And Looney was so good last night.
Right. Well, Loondog.
When Dre got the fifth foul, he had to go to the bench. And I thought that they stole so many minutes with Looney. And what I mean by stealing is like they just salvaged. You know, you knew with your Hall of Famer and no Curry on the floor, your other Hall of Famer, Draymond Green, was extremely important. And when he had 5 fouls, he had to go to the bench. He had to stabilize things. And I just thought that Looney got so many extra possessions and ended possessions for them via the blocking out of Gobert. Looney was amazing. Vintage Kevon Looney last night.
Josh is in Dallas, wants to join in the conversation, 888-957-9570. Josh, good morning. How are you feeling about yesterday's win, man?
Yes, sir. This right here is what I'm talking about. Hey, I loved every minute of the game. I'm sad that Steph Curry went out, but this right here is what's going to win us this series. When we actually get ready to look at the benches, I don't think Minnesota benches compared to the Warriors benches. When you start talking about points off the bench, I don't really think Minnesota is ready for that. Minnesota is a great team, don't get me wrong, but Anthony Harris, I do got a message for you. Do not call that a championship team if you're not ready. And one more thing I got to say, y'all, Warriors in 5. I really do not think that the Wolves is that type of team like Houston who can actually give you that run. I don't think they're a team. We're not the Lakers.
Hey Josh,
we are the Warriors.
Josh, if Stephen Curry's out for a few games, are you still using that prediction?
Yes, I'm still keeping it because I really do not think that the Wolves gives us that type of energy, that type of work as what Houston gave us.
It's a little aggressive for my take.
Like, yeah, we were talking about
personally. I think it's a little aggressive, but I love the mindset.
I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I'm feeling the same way I felt, and I'm hearing from fans, and that's fine. We were talking about the same thing after that Warriors Game 1 win over the Houston Rockets. We're like, wow, the Warriors didn't even play well, and they won comfortably because Houston was just so awful offensively. And that series ended up going 7 games, and Jimmy Butler missed one of the games, and Stephen Curry's going to miss one of these games. So things are going to change in these series that we're not, like, Minnesota could have a huge offensive output next game, and then maybe your views change. But I'm not telling you you can't feel that way, and the confidence, you're loving the confidence, absolutely. Things are going to change, though. I think we saw probably the worst that we're going to see Minnesota offensively, and some of that was to do with the Warriors. And a lot of that, you heard from Chris Finch there, was the effort from their star player. And he was calling them out after one game. And I do think that bodes well for the Warriors just leaning on their veterans and their experience. But he was talking about the bench in there, Joe, like saying that he doesn't think Minnesota has the bench to compete with the Warriors. Well, the Warriors' bench is going to have to step up even more so because they had 19 points off the bench yesterday. And just one player for the Minnesota Timberwolves off the bench had 19 points alone. That was Naz Reid. So, again,
I mean, like, he's the guy you want to stop off the bench.
Yes, that is exactly. And he had 19 points, and it felt like he was getting going. As much as Anthony Edwards was getting going, Naz Reid was starting that run, too.
I feel like Naz Reid, I fear, in terms of efficiency and momentum, way more than Julius Randle.
His size. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I just keep coming back to this totally different matchup than the Rockets. The Rockets matchup was just for a variety of reasons, it was so much more difficult to get better looks.
But can you give me this? After game one, we were all feeling a little arrogant.
Yeah, but it was way more physical.
It's just odd to me after coming out of this game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, knowing you're going to be without Stephen Curry potentially for a couple games, and we're this confident. I don't know.
Because more ancillary players.
I don't want to sound like better. I don't want to sound like a wet blanket here.
No, but the non-Steph minutes, in the Rockets series were putrid.
Again, we saw this team without Jimmy Butler against the Rockets win because Stephen Curry is out there.
Yeah, but it's not Steph.
Exact. Well,
yeah, but in this game, without Steph, you got great looks. So that's why I think this is different. I think the non-Steph minutes against Houston and their defense is different than. Would you agree to me with me that their perimeter defense is better? Houston Rockets?
Sure. They're better. I still think that the Warriors were held to 99 points overall. Like, let's not act like Minnesota wasn't doing good things defensively at times, too. They had a big lead. They built it.
Yeah, I
think it was more sort of due to Minnesota's offense was putrid. And again, give credit to the Golden State Warriors.
Played 70% of this game without Steph. I think 99 points is freaking amazing.
Sure.
Amazing.
Sure. But that might be the watermark going forward. Is 99 points going to be good enough in game two? Is it going to be good enough in game three?
Well, are they going to score? You know, our defense is sustainable. I do think our defense on Ant Edwards, although he got his in the second half, I actually do think it's sustainable. Yeah. I think we're going to throw more at him.
I do think I'd trust Minnesota's offense going forward more than I would Golden State Warriors offense without Stephen Curry. I do. Maybe you guys think I'm a hater. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just saying, like it's a good game one win. They needed this win. They did. Without Stephen Curry, I got some questions. We're going to react to
what
Doc Tongia.
If there were no Jimmy Butler, I would feel way more like you are. But I'm telling you, with Jimmy and Dre and the way Dre played yesterday, like, he clearly realizes what's at stake, and there's no messing around. And I also think Steve Kerr is just on it right now. He is just on it. He is playing in his bag on rookie mode.
888-957-9570. Your concern level going forward, if the Warriors have to miss Stephen Curry for an extended period of time, we can get into that. What are some of the adjustments we're going to see in game two, where Steph is most likely not going to play in that game? He's dealing with a hamstring strain. We'll play some Doc Pondia sound, who joined us earlier to talk about said hamstring strain. We'll hear from Jimmy. We'll hear from Buddy. We'll hear from Coach Kerr, Gary Payton, all of them. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky. We're rolling, baby. Warriors up 1-0, and it's brought to you by Safeway. I'm not feeling so good about the loss, potentially, of one Stephen Curry. Is that okay to feel that way this morning if I wake up? I can feel a little bit of both if I'm a fan. Like, God, that was a great win. Relief that we won it. We were able to hang on. But, man, this injury is Steph Curry. I don't know. I'm concerned.
I mean, of course, he's one of the greatest players ever.
Yes.
Of course you're going to feel some kind of way. I would feel way worse if you didn't have Jimmy. If you just look at all their advanced metrics throughout the playoffs in general, plus minus, offensive rating, defensive rating. Yes, Curry is extremely impactful for winning, and he's a best part of all of those combinations, those lineups. Jimmy is the guy who gives them their best numbers on defense, on offense. There's no doubt Steph is a huge, huge factor. And it's going to correlate to everything they do. But I'm just kind of going through game to game. And Steph's plus minus and what the rest of the team in the non-Steph minutes, what their plus minuses are. And I think my big takeaway is that when Steph wasn't on the floor, and I'll keep it as simple as possible, forget the numbers. When Steph wasn't on the floor against the Rockets, the Warriors were at a big disadvantage. A big disadvantage. In this game the other day, you know, yesterday, Steph was, I'm looking at it right here, a plus 10, all right? A plus 10. No, you ended up winning the game by 11. You were a plus 1, essentially, in the non-Curry minutes.
Yeah.
And my personal belief, they milked the clock, and they were playing the clock as their friend, but I just thought the shots they got when Curry wasn't there, even in that fourth quarter, as bad as it looked, were significantly better than what they got in the Rockets series. I think they can play different defensive combinations, the Moody GP2 Looney lineup, which is very stagnant offensively. You can get away with that against Minnesota more so than you could against Houston.
888-957-9570. Are you feeling better about the win in game one, or are you feeling worse about the potential loss of one Steph Curry? 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go out to David, who's in Denver, wants to join in the conversation. David, good morning. How are we feeling, man?
Oh, man, of course I want to see Steph in there all the time. That's kind of a given. And I'm going to be a little bit of the negative Nancy and nitpicker, but that's just because I think that this team can go all the way. And so what I want to nitpick on is a couple things. And one is, guys, the T-Wolves played horribly last night.
Of course.
I'm not taking away the effort and all the good stuff. I'm glad that we pulled it out. But they played horrible. They shot horrible. And so I'm looking forward, like, as if that's not going to happen again and as if we're not going to have Steph. A couple things on my mind is, one, if I see Jimmy, and I love Jimmy, best acquisition maybe ever for the Warriors. If I see him go and pass out side one more time when he's wide open under the hoop, I'm going to pull my hair out. You've got to stop doing that. We need that scoring now, especially now. We need the scoring. Moses Moody, dude, don't look good, man. Those weren't just misses. Those were some heavy bricks last night. Mm. And I feel like that's been going on for a few games. So I'm like, Kerr, can we do something else there, man? The guy seems like a good dude. I'm just saying, like, we can't be having that, like the caller previous said. Like, we can't be having those kind of bricks right now against this team, because I don't believe Minnesota is going to play the same way again like they did last night. The other thing, and this is just my thoughts, or I'm going to get you guys' thoughts. Trace Jackson Davis, is there something maybe, I don't know, because I love Looney, all that he brings. I know he's great. I've been rooting for that dude for a long time, but you know those little, like, alley-oops that, like, Trace Jackson, he would be getting? Like, I remember last year seeing that a lot. He's more active. He's more athletic. Why can't we see a little bit of him just in this series with the other bigs that they got?
I would hear you. Well, I thought Looney was awesome.
Yeah.
And it went beyond the numbers. I thought Looney was awesome. I don't know what – again, maybe we were just watching it differently. I'm not trying to rip him, but, like, I was not asking for Trace Jackson Davis. I thought Looney was spectacular. I thought Draymond was spectacular. I thought collectively this team boxed out. I mean, you saw Pat Spencer, Pajemski rebounding. You saw early in the game, Curry was rebounding. The guards were rebounding. I thought they did a great job collectively offsetting the load of Randall and Gobert.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the series for Trace Jackson Davis, to be honest. I'm not sure about that one. Maybe he gets dusted off a time or two. Maybe he gets a look. It's a very long.
Yeah.
Again, we said the same thing as Kuminga last series against the Rockets, and he had game seven, you go to Kuminga, right? So there's going to be opportunities for everyone. Again, shout out Pat Spencer, who's making the most of his opportunities. We were talking about a lot today. Your biggest takeaway from yesterday's win is what with some of these players and some of their performances? 888-957-9570. But I thought Looney in 14 minutes, you know, you look at the box score, it's not sexy, but the big thing, whenever you look at the box score for Looney, is the rebounds, always. Two of those offensive, four total, but two of those offensive rebounds were huge down the stretch for this team. And again, Looney, what I know about him, and more so over than Trace Jackson Davis, again, the guy's going to, he's a rookie when it comes to the playoffs. I know he's a second-year player, but a rookie when it comes to the playoffs, like, Looney's played a lot of big games, a lot of them, and that is just something you can't teach in big moments and big opportunities. He's not gonna show up small, and he didn't yesterday.
How many big second chance possessions did he get for them in the fourth quarter? When clock was your friend, and getting a better look was something that you absolutely needed to have.
He did have a couple of them.
All right,
huge.
And I thought that although he didn't get enough rebounds, his shot altering around the rim and allowing someone else to get a rebound because he's boxing out with Gobert was spectacular.
And you have to do that against a team like that who has size and athleticism. We had 18 offensive rebounds as a team yesterday.
Jimmy
18.
Was flying in. Dude.
Buddy Hield had four of them. Buddy Hield, Jimmy Butler. And I love the podium game yesterday. I want to play some of the sound. Jimmy and Buddy, because they're like, they're besties, man. They should be a sitcom.
Such a bromance.
It's hilarious. I love every single second of them. And here, let's play some of it because we haven't even talked about it. How have I buried the lead here? We mentioned it, I think, once. The wardrobe malfunction? What the hell was that?
I don't even know.
The wrong shorts? Is he going all Brandon Ayuk?
I don't even know.
How do you have the wrong shorts?
I don't even
know.
And
then, like, they had to stop the game, and it goes to commercial. I was like, what the hell just happened? They were making fun of him. Stan Van Gundy on the broadcast was talking about, I've never seen that in my entire career. And Stan Van's been a coach for a very long time. He's like, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. Here's Jimmy and Buddy Hield talking about it after the game.
Buddy, what happened with the wardrobe malfunction?
Jimmy switched it out. It was Jimmy's fault.
Okay.
Jimmy switched it out, and that's what happened. So I was looking for my shorts, and I thought it was the right one. He said, yo, put these on. It was the right. And that was the...
That's what you're going with?
Yeah, I'm going with Jimmy. It was Jimmy's fault. His locker is next to my locker. I was looking at my shorts. He said, yo, I can't find my shorts. Oh, I see there. And I put them on and it looked just alike. And after that, got a fine for it. So it's cool. It was Jimmy's fault. Blame Jimmy.
Buddy Hield is so... The way he just talks is hilarious. That's so fast. It's so obvious he's from the Bahamas. He's got a little bit of accent there. But it's just... He just has so much energy and plays with so much joy. And it does rub off on a guy like Jimmy Butler. He loves it. And they're going at each other like bickering brothers. And that's what Gary Payton called them, I guess. And here's Jimmy and Buddy talking about that.
Gary compared you to bickering brothers. Right? And you're the little annoying brother and you're the older brother.
And what Gary is?
I don't know. Maybe he's the middle brother.
The
though.
Clumsy one. Always doing the dumbest stuff ever.
You literally wore the wrong shorts.
the audacity.
Right. You called someone else dumb. You're the one that forgot your shorts, bro. Oh, that hey, listen, we're laughing about it now because they won. Had they not, it would have been like, yeah, what the hell was that? What are we doing? But they won, so it was funny. It's okay. What did you think about that? When you saw that, Joe, you just turned the game on and there's a stoppage because of the shorts. Like, what?
Well, no, I was watching on TNT. I don't know about everyone else. And they had the Indiana game on and they didn't flex to the other game.
Oh, I was watching. Well, I was streaming through HBO Max. So if you have an HBO Max subscription, you can just go right to that game. I think you do.
Yeah,
so
I know, but I was on TNT.
No, and just do that next time. Just go to the app, the Max, and it could go right.
And then they flipped over, and then there was like 10 minutes to go, in the, or, 10 minutes in the first quarter, and then they did like a replay of exactly what happened.
Right. No, so it was just, you didn't even catch it. Okay. The whole thing was very odd. 888-957-9570, though. At the end of the day, it was Buddy Hield and Jimmy Butler. That tandem. It is insane, just taking a step back, that these last two games that have been just huge, the last game of last series and the first game of this one now in the Western Conference Semis, like Buddy Hield's been like the best player. Like the most consistent player, maybe not the best because Steph obviously was huge that second half, but the most consistent player has been Buddy Hield offensively. The most consistent player, the definition of inconsistency all season long has been Buddy Hield, but the most consistent player in their biggest games of the season has been him. It's just insane. But I appreciate it.
Are we that surprised? We watched a guy in Andrew.
Yes, I'm surprised. Yes. He's been not good for most of the year.
Andrew Wiggins. Entire career was mired in, wow, this guy cannot be consistent. And then with this team, in this organization, during the playoffs, flipped the switch and was the most consistent 2 months of his career.
Sure.
So I can't get a...
He was an all-star, though. He was an all-star that season.
But he was also a big-time player at Oklahoma.
Yeah, but he's been a bench player for most of this year. He's been off the bench, and he's been a starter now.
There's no doubt.
That's insane.
I hear you, but we're not asking him to carry the team for 2 months. We're asking him... Have a series.
No, he's carried the team the last two games is what I'm saying. Like, that's incredible.
It is, but like, if I step back, I'm also like, it's not that crazy. I watched TJ Warren turn into Michael Jordan in the bubble. Like, these things do happen. They do. I watched Cody Ross in a playoff series turn into Superman. I'm not saying it is incredible, but it's not out of the realm of possibility is, I guess, where I'm going with this.
Here's more from Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield talking about them going at each other back and forth.
Fred VanVleet, who you could name 1,000 players before you get to.
All-star?
He had the ball in his hand in Game 7, and you were saying to yourself, oh my God, don't let him shoot, right?
Yes. Yes, well, because we've also seen him in big shots and big opportunities in the finals prior. But again, it's Fred VanVleet.
But even then, came out of nowhere.
Yep, absolutely. That's what players do. And again, Buddy Hield, he is still, it's him and Stephen Curry, the best, the most three-pointers made since, what, 5, 6 years, whatever that stat is. It's those two. And here's more of Jimmy and Buddy going back and forth.
Draymond mentioned that you two guys were kind of going back and forth in the huddle even. Do you feed off? I mean, we've seen that. We've seen you guys go back and forth. You're doing it right now.
Why
were you going back and forth?
Because when I, you know what, I'm not going to say exactly what I say in the locker room, but when I got a mismatch in the post, don't cut. Stay on the perimeter.
If you got a mismatch, you ain't going to score the ball.
I am going to score the ball. I can't score the ball when you cut into my space. You're a shooter. You're not even a cutter.
Bro, you see
score. You saw what happened when you shot a layup in the first quarter? Smokey Robinson, that's exactly what you did. Use the backboard, too.
Use the backboard, too. That's good stuff.
Dude, when this team is loose, man.
It's great.
And when they're loose.
And that's what that tells me. Again, we'll play some more sound from the Minnesota angle because I did think it was hilarious after the game because they also had, who was it? It was... Jaden McDaniels, it was Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle all sitting next to each other at the podium, and they asked him about this, they told him it was the worst two-game shooting stretch from beyond the arc in the history of the NBA, so we'll get to that in a second, but it just goes to show camaraderie goes a long way, and the fact that these two are that tight, and that Jimmy Butler has ingratiated himself on this team this early, like, it's pretty crazy, and also Buddy Hield, this is his first season with the team, and he's already a fan favorite, which is crazy. Now, you got to be a fan favorite. You got to have some big moments and big games to be a fan favorite. And he's done that, so that's helped. But I don't think anyone, ever hated on Buddy Hield. He's just had such a good attitude, and that matters.
But, journeyman in the playoffs, pick the sport. Like, they go on a run.
Yeah.
Marco Scudero is a journeyman. I mean, stuff happens in these playoffs, and all it takes is two or three games, and you become like this otherworldly playoff performer. It's bizarre how that will happen.
Let's go to the phones, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Brian in Palo Alto.
What's up, BPA?
I know he's feeling great after that win. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, just it's pretty joyous. I mean, this is the, in my opinion, this is one of the most satisfying wins of this entire run of 10 years to win on the road as an underdog on short rest and lose Steph in the first quarter is insane. And to me, it's just what Kerr and the, I'll give the entire organization credit, Lake up everybody, but what they've built is pretty special. And I don't know how the series plays out from here, but like, man, Kerr, this is the best coaching of Kerr's career right now, which is saying something, but, yeah, it's and he really is an all-time great to be able to coach that team through to a win yesterday. You know, with man, it's insane.
Hey,
it's,
just,
it's so impressive. And if they, you know, like if they could squeeze out one more win before Steph, you know, hopefully Steph can come back. I think they're going to win the series. You know, could they squeeze out a home win?
I totally agree. BPA, you know, it's like his usage of timeouts, his lineup combinations, his willingness to play nine guys in the first quarter, stopping any momentum or the crowd, you know, fervor with timeouts, great inbound plays, having Looney come in late in the game for Draymond Green, who's got five fouls. Like, pick the way, like, however you want to look at it. He was amazing yesterday, Steve Kerr, in terms of pulling every single lever.
By the way, the guy who called in complaining about Looney for TJD, I mean Looney like looked like he found the fountain of Looney yesterday. He was transformed. I mean, he was fantastic. Like, you know, and I think even Kerr was like willing to bring out JK and play him minutes, right? And like not, you know, not about his ego or anything else. You know, like yeah, it's just you know what they have. Draymond, Kerr, this group collectively, like the only comp from a local sports standpoint is Joe.
Yep.
You know, Joe and Bill. Joe and Bill Walsh, that's it.
Yep.
Historically. And not Steve Young, by the way. Steve was not Joe, by the way, for the history buffs. I see him thrown into the mix there. But Joe, something about him, you know, in the biggest moments and the brightest lights, they were at their absolute best and calmest. And these guys, that's it. It's just the Warriors, the Steph Warriors, Kerr, and the Montana Walsh Niners. Those are the only comps from a greatness in this area.
Have a great day, guys. Great point.
Thanks,
and like the aura, like I was thinking about it last night. If that was the Miami Heat, you know, everyone would say around the whole country,
Heat culture.
That's a Heat culture win.
Right.
That's what that was last night. Like it was a Warriors culture win, win. And it's obviously like Draymond Green, who I've traded him away. I've crushed him. I've praised him. You know, I've given him all of the emotions. I just thought yesterday when the team needed him the most, he was so awesome on defense. He was so awesome on offense. They needed scoring. He hit shots. They needed facilitating. He did that. They needed him not to turn the ball over and get caught up with the officials. He did that. We needed him not to kind of get in the mix with, you know, silly stuff with Gobert. He did that. He even separated a fight between Jimmy Butler and Dante DiVincenzo. You know, like, if we're going to, and I'm like the first person, I'm admitting it. Like, if I'm going to sit here and scrutinize every little thing with Draymond Green the last couple of years, man, the guy deserves all the praise. With Curry out, he stepped up when this team needed it the most. He hit, I wrote it down right here. To start that third quarter, you could feel like Minnesota knew, this is second quarter, excuse me. Mm-hmm. You could feel they knew it was very important for them to get off. Boom, immediate stop by Draymond. Draymond, wide open three, bang. And then they get announced later on in the quarter. It's announced, Curry's out, damn. Now Reed's hurt, boom, Draymond layup.
Yeah.
Like, he could sense the moment and how important it was, and he was the most focused I've seen him in so long. It was just such a coming-of-age win for this team. All the young players stepping up, the OG vets showing why they're some of the oldest and the most highly regarded players of this era.
And they're going to have to keep it up, potentially without Stephen Curry, for maybe multiple games, at least one here going forward. Again, we're awaiting the MRI results when it comes to one Stephen Curry. But Draymond Green stepping up offensively. You know what he's going to bring you defensively every game? Offensively, he was huge. 18 points for him. Jimmy Butler, He was chucking it up. No, you know, no Steph. Someone's got to shoot the three-point ball. Jimmy attempted 8 times. Don't know if I love that. He made a couple of them that banked one, which was ridiculous. Here's how it sounded right here on 95.7 The Game.
Bounce pass to Peyton in the corner. Can't shoot. Over to Butler. Three to shoot. Pulls up. Hits a deep three. It's up. And he banked it home. The Bank of Minneapolis is open late tonight for all the playoff action. 69-53.
Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. That, yeah, put it about 69-53 in the third quarter. That one was just ridiculous as he was trying to get that foul call off of DiVincenzo. Didn't get it. Put it in anyways. And maybe that was just the night for the Warriors after that shot was made. That's kind of how I felt. But I know, you know, I don't like to say anything in the chat because you guys feel like I might jinx something. We'll get to that in Fast Five a little bit later. 888-957-9570, the call. But without Stephen Curry, it's going to be difficult. Jimmy Butler talked about it after the game yesterday.
What did you see with this whole team coming together to earn this team win, game one on the road?
Yeah, big time. Big time for the guys. We want Steph back, I tell you that. It's hard playing without that man. But we got one on the road, came here, did what we had to do.
There you go. They got their one on the road. So no matter what, they stole home court advantage going back to Chase Center. Can you get greedy and go 2-0? It seems strong at this point, a little strong. But
it's aggressive.
It's aggressive, but you know what? I don't think a lot of people gave him a shot yesterday, especially when Stephen Curry went down. Even though they had a big lead, you didn't give him a shot. A lot of people didn't. And they showed
way wrong.
Again, I like kind of how you said that. Warriors culture showed out yesterday, and Steve Kerr, give him credit for that. And speaking of Warriors culture, hopefully Dr. Rick Celebrini, their head trainer, could show his culture and get Stephen Curry back here sooner than later. I know he's not Mr. Miyagi. You can't do that like hand thing and put it on Daniel LaRusso and get that injury healed. But hopefully Steph can come back sooner or later. It's tricky, though. Hamstrings are tough. They're very tricky. So,
I mean, they won the first one. Mission accomplished. So even if they get I don't want them to, but even if they get blown out, like they did exactly what we needed them to do.
Let's go to Andrew in Portola, Valley wants to join in the conversation and talk about
like
Stephen
Santa
Curry.
Cruz area?
I don't know where that is. Yeah, Portola, is that Pajaro Valley? I don't even know. Andrew, good morning. What you got, man?
Nah, man, it's out by Stanford.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's out. Yeah. Look, would I rather have Steph playing tomorrow? Of course, but we all know he's much better on rest, right? I mean, the conspiracy theorist in me is like, oh, I'm hurt. I need to go back home and hang out with my kids. I'll see you on Saturday. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with this.
Wait, you think he's not really hurt?
No, I'm joking, of course. But
okay, well,
the point is that
right on thicker than that, Andrew. Continue.
I'm joking, no. But I mean, look, we all know he's so much better on rest that am I upset about the fact that he's not going to be playing or that he may not be playing? Not terribly. I mean, as you just said, they just mission accomplished for this road trip, right? So they've got to just come home, hold serve, and they'll be in good shape,
there
right?
There you go. No, Andrew, it's a great point. But also, Andrew, I'm just going to call you out real quick. You can't say I'm going to put like my conspiracy theorist hat on and then say I'm joking. It's not how it works. Conspiracy theories,
well,
you're not joking.
We get a lot of calls here, and people are serious.
I can't tell.
They're so absurd. And look, I have absurd takes as well. But there's so many that are absurd, I can't tell what's real and what's not anymore.
No, you can't, especially in today's society. Shout out fake news. Good Lord. But again, I don't, the conspiracy theory in me, I have nothing on that. I just want Stephen Curry back. I know he's going to be compromised going forward. No matter what happens, when Stephen Curry does come back, he's going to be a slightly diminished version of himself because of that leg. And how is that going to hamper them going forward? That's going to be a conversation for tomorrow. It's going to be a conversation throughout the series when he does come back, if they advance even past that. And here's Dr. Nirav Pandya, our 95.7 The Game injury insider, doctor at UCSF Health, talking about his initial reaction to the hamstring injury.
I thought initially it might have been cramps, you know, because there wasn't any kind of, you know, like large twist or was he sprinting and then he kind of pulled up. So I was thinking cramps, but then you see him immediately call for a sub. So that got me a little bit more concerned. And I think when he was grabbing higher up on his leg, that was when I got a little bit more worried because, you know, the higher up that hamstring injury is, the more it can be a longer recovery. So that was definitely concerning to me when I saw that.
Ah.
And this is the best and worst case scenario for Steph, according to Doc.
Really, really bad things. We were worried about, okay, this is the end of the, you know, even if they make it to the finals, like he wouldn't be able to play the fact that he got up, he was still running around, walked to the locker room, you've eliminated that kind of grade three complete tear. Like, you just can't do what he did if you've completely torn your hamstring. Now you're wondering, okay, is this maybe a grade one or grade two based on an MRI? Best case scenario would be, this is a grade one. It's just more fatigue. He felt something. They're being super cautious. And you're looking at a week. You know, like most grade ones usually land around a week. Grade two has become a little trickier. Those are kind of the 2 to 3 week long injuries. My gut tells me that based on the fact that Kerr said he's day to day, that he was walking around, this hopefully lands more of a, okay, where in the series are you going to play? It's based on how the team's going. It doesn't necessarily look like this could be, okay, end of the series, and we're hoping that he makes it back for the next round. So best case, couple days. Worst case, maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
So you're hoping for a best case there, a couple of days, right? But again, there's an injury, you know, a re-injury factor when it comes to hamstrings and soft tissues, no matter what. I mean, we saw it, like, I don't want to go here, but we have to. We've seen it with Kevin Durant with the calf strain. And the calf went, the Achilles went in the finals. Like, you have to be very careful. This guy's 37. He's not 27 anymore. So it's going to be something to monitor throughout these playoffs. So, again, we have to talk about it. It's the thing. I know we all want to talk about the win and feel good about the win. And it was a really good feel-good win. But baked into it is this injury. And how is it going to affect the team going forward if he's going to have to miss a few games now starting tomorrow in Minnesota?
I look at it, and I get why you're pessimistic. I have to. Trust me,
it's not even pessimistic. It's just you have to talk about it. Like, it is what it is.
No, yeah. I know that. Yeah. But what I would say to you is that what I've learned about sports, and this is why I love it, is just when you think there is no hope, teams surprise you. They won a game without Jimmy, right? Now, that was with Steph, obviously. This is why you made the trade for Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, not only to give him a second superstar, but if he's out for a couple of games, can you win one? Let's say he's out three. Can you win one? Yeah, I think he can. I do. I think if you're asking me, do they have a puncher's chance to win one of the next three, right? Hypothetically, that he's out. Yeah, I do. If the Brock Purdy story has taught me anything, it's that do not underestimate any professional athlete. As we see Pat Spencer making the most of his opportunity last night. Sports, you got to play the games, man. You got to execute. And I'm still never going to wave the white flag with Draymond, Jimmy Butler, and Steve Kerr and whatever ensemble they have around them.
Are you feeling worse about the Steph injury? Are you feeling better about the win overall this morning when you're waking up, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. You could have both. You could be feeling both. You'd be like, bittersweet feeling. That's totally fine. I do think we're in the high right now off the win. So it might not be hidden until tomorrow morning.
Yeah, ask me at tip-off time
how
I'm feeling without Steph. Exactly. When I'm watching sluggish half-court offense searching for a bucket.
Real quick on that, who do you, like, just your initial thoughts, like, for game two? We're going to get into game two tomorrow, but, like, when you first, like, heard the news that he's probably going to be out game two, were you thinking, you go Quentin Post? Do you go small?
Immediately after, I was like, thank God we won this game.
That was my
first take. Like, yeah. Thank God you won this game.
Yes.
I think the whole feeling would feel like life is over. If we had lost that game and a 20-point lead and, you know, did whatever it was that OKC did or Boston did or Cleveland Cavaliers have done in both games, which is, you know, situational basketball down the stretch, just harpooning yourself. So that being said, you can breathe a little, right? Yes. And I think that you've given yourself a little bit of room. They got to get him back. I mean, they need some good news here. And the fact that Steve Kerr was so quick with the day-to-day, to me, because look, all these places have MRI machines. That's one thing that I've learned, is that David Sampson, who ran the Marlins, says every single stadium has an MRI machine, and they do it right away. Mm-hmm. Now, they wait till the day after to have a second one,
right,
so they can either confirm or whatever.
Always need a second opinion. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they want to let some of the swelling or whatever it is go down and get a good look at it the next day before they make any conclusions and see how your body is feeling that day after. But the fact they were so quick with the day-to-day, to me, says, like, all right, feels like a week. Feels like 2 or 3 game absence.
Here is Steph. Check that. Here's Steve Kerr talking about Steph Curry and him being day to day.
Any general update on Steph? Any prognosis at all?
Just day to day. You'll get an MRI.